Tonight we're going to look at Romans chapter 1. Romans chapter 1. We've been going through Romans in my class on Sunday morning, and I'm not quite sure. Let's see if this works. There we go. I'm not quite sure. The college kids that are here, y'all, have y'all heard enough of Romans yet?
Good.
All right. So Romans chapter 1 is where we're going to be tonight. And once you find that, I'm going to give you a little bit of background. Anybody know anything about Rome in itself? Rome was a very proud city. They've got a lot of streets that are still here. That's a great thing that they knew how to build streets. I wish we did here in this town. But Rome is a very proud city. And the gospel came to them from Jerusalem. Just a little nation that they had conquered. Like, they'd conquered most of everything, right? Rome was a great power. And the one that was supposed to have the gospel, the one that was supposed to be the Messiah, was the one that they had a hand of nailing to the cross. And the cross was the worst possible thing that they could do to somebody. And so the guy that was supposed to save them, the guy that was supposed to be the Messiah, had the lowest death in their minds. Now, as brothers and sisters in Christ, that's the way we view each other, right? As brothers and sisters in Christ. See, Rome didn't do that. Thank you, Brother Doug. Because I view y'all as brothers and sisters in Christ, and I hope y'all view each other that way too. Because we're going to spend eternity with each other. Whether you like me or whether you don't like me, you're going to spend eternity with me if you know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. But Rome didn't feel that way about even the Romans. They had all different layers of people that they were above. And that's the way that they looked at everybody else. All right? They had great philosophers and great philosophies. Why did they need to hear anything that Paul had to say? Well, think about this for just a second. Paul was the one that was going around trying to knock the gospel completely out. Make sure that everybody understood that Jesus was not the truth. And then all of a sudden, great thing about that is Jesus changed his life. Jesus changed his life. And Paul did not want to go back to anything that he was about before that encounter with Jesus. And including myself, some of us here probably need to not ever look back to where we were and stay focused on Jesus. Now, it's a great thing to remember that Jesus took me out of this. But we dwell too many times in that area. And Paul did not want to do that. Not one time did Paul want to do that. And when we go through these scriptures, we're going to see how Paul had a driving force for people. And how he had this message that he wanted to tell everybody. But you know what? The Romans, you know what I told you about them? How hilarious was this whole thought in the Romans' eyes? To actually think that this guy was better than they were. He came from a place that they had conquered. They killed him. We don't have anything to do with him. But it didn't stop Paul. Does it stop y'all? Think about that for just a second. Does it stop you when somebody does not want to have anything to do with Jesus Christ? Has it ever stopped you before? It's tough to know that you have a message and you want to tell them how much Jesus loves them and they go, I don't care. It's tough. Paul didn't care how many times he was told, I don't care. He still wanted to tell people about Jesus. He had confidence in his message, and in these next few scriptures that we read, he's going to give reasons why he was not ashamed of the gospel. Why did Paul come to Rome? In chapter 1, verse 11, that he might establish a faith, might help those Romans there establish a faith. In verse 12, that they might be a blessing to him. And in verse 13, that he might have some fruit among them. And so if you're in Romans chapter 1, would you please stand as we read verses 8 through 17. First, I thank my God through Jesus Christ for you all, that your faith is spoken of throughout the world. And that would be a great thing right here for Victory. That your faith is spoken throughout all of Russellville, throughout all of Arkansas. Wouldn't that be great for somebody to go, you go to church at Russellville, y'all stand on the truth, and y'all tell people about Jesus. Man, that would be awesome. for me to walk in town and hear that. I hear a lot of good things about Victory, so don't get me wrong. For God is my witness, whom I serve with my spirit in the gospel of His Son, that without ceasing I make mention of you always in my prayers, making request if by some means, now at last I may find a way in the will of God to come to you. For I long to see you, that I may impart to you some spiritual gift, so that you may be established, that is, that I may be encouraged together with you by the mutual faith, both of you and me. Now, I do not want you to be unaware, brethren, that I often planned to come to you, but was hindered until now, that I might have some fruit among you also, just as among the other Gentiles. I am a debtor both to the Greeks and to the barbarians, both to the wise and to the unwise. So as much as is in me, I am ready to preach the gospel to you who are in Rome also. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes, for the Jew first, and also to the Greek. For in it is the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith. As it is written, the just shall live by faith. Brother Bryce, would you lead us in a word of prayer, please? Be seated. So what is your driving force to be with people? What is your driving force for humanity? Paul had a great one, and that was the gospel of Jesus Christ. Completely. You read in all of his things that he's done, from the point he had the encounter with Jesus and he changed his life, what was his driving force all about? The gospel of Jesus Christ. I cannot say that every day, that my driving force is the gospel of Jesus Christ. I would like to, but as Brother Doug preached this morning, I have four kids. When I leave here, when I leave my duties, I'm chasing them a lot, just like you are. You're chasing folks, you're chasing dreams, you're chasing everything else. Paul was chasing God. And chasing everything that there was about him. And I look at my life and I go, man, why can I not be like Paul? Why can I not just abandon everything and go after what God has for me? So what is my driving force? Paul's driving force becomes evident in these next few verses. In verses 13 through 14, it says this. Now, I do not want you to be unaware, brethren, that I often planned to come to you, but it was hindered until now, that I might have some fruit among you, just as among the other Gentiles. See, Paul had an obligation to Rome. He had an obligation to be there. But there was a lot of things that got in his way. Sometimes the devil got in his way and moved him along. And most of the time, God said, no, don't go there yet. But he had an obligation to minister to Rome. Paul had to pay his debt. Anybody here like to pay debts? No? Well, if you don't like to pay debts, you like to have the creditors come get you, right? You like for the law to show up with your at your door and knock on your door and give you this thing where you've been sued, and you have to sign for it, and you have to go down to the courthouse and make sure they got all the papers legal. Y'all like to go through that? No, nobody here does. Each and every one of us wants to pay our debts. Sometimes we get ourselves in too much debt, and it's kind of hard. But Paul had a debt to pay, and he wanted to pay it. He didn't want to slack off. He didn't want to lean back and go, oh, that can wait till next month, or that can wait. No, he wanted to do it now. And his debt that he paid was not because he was driven by law to do it. It was by orders from the Lord. God said, go tell the Gentiles about me. Go tell them. Don't stop. Don't pick up anything else, but go tell them. Man, how great of a debt is that? When God called me to preach, I ran for I don't know how many years. Completely ran. And I was looking at Lance Greathouse tonight. I'm going to try not to cry right here. But I was looking at Lance Greathouse tonight, and I remember conversations I had with him. I remember standing right over there one night and looking at him and saying, it's killing me. The debt that I have to pay to Christ is one that I don't want to run from. It's one that I want to stay on that course. And that's the same thing with Paul. Paul could not be debt-free until he told as many people about the gospel as he could. Man, that's a great debt. The debt ended when God called him home for what he had to do here on this earth. In verse 15 it says this, "So as in me, so as much as is in me, I am ready to preach the gospel to you who are in Rome also." Paul had been everywhere preaching. Everywhere you go is a great place for you to tell people about Jesus. Everywhere you go. That's what, really? Yes, everywhere. Paul, every place he went, he made people mad. He got ran out of the city. Wow. Do I want to make people mad for Christ? I want to tell them about Jesus, and I want them to be happy and accept Him. But Paul didn't care if he got mad or not. If yourself got revealed of who you are and you're standing with Christ, then that was his job. To make sure that you understood that you are a sinner and you needed Christ to come into your life and save you. Lots of people get mad today because of that. Because they see who they are. Not because of what you're telling them, but because they see who they are. And Paul needed to tell folks. Paul was eager to visit them. Eager. How many of y'all are eager? Some of y'all may be eager to leave right now so I can hush, right? I understand that. But Paul was eager. In the books that Paul wrote, he used two words that were translated ready. He said, "I am ready," in verse 15, to preach the gospel. The first one comes from Acts chapter 21, verses 23. And it says this, "For I am ready not only to be bound, but also to die at Jerusalem for the name of the Lord Jesus." And verse 1 through 15, "As much as in me, I am ready." In Romans chapter 1 there. You see, Paul, raise your hand if you're ready to die. Okay. I'm not ready to stand before God for the judgment. I might be ready to be shed of this earth, but I'm not ready to stand before God. But Paul was here. He was not ready, he was not eager to die, but he was prepared to die wherever he went. He did not have an eagerness of a sightseer that he wanted to go to Rome, which a lot of us, we go to a lot of places. Been on a mission trip? Were you eager to go on the mission trip because you wanted to see what was there? Or were you eager to go and do what God wanted you to? It's a struggle. It's a struggle to know that where we want to go. He was not did not have that kind of eagerness, but he had the eagerness of a soul winner. Anybody here tonight have the eagerness of a soul winner? Does Paul's life match up with ours? Paul tried to match his life up with Jesus as much as possible. He was still a man. But Paul wanted to tell everybody, that eagerness that we have should be about telling people about the gospel. The third thing here, sorry, I was supposed to be clicking. The third thing here, he was eager to visit them. In verse 16 and 17 it says this, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes, for the Jew first and also the Greek. For in it the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith." What a testimony Paul had. I'm a debtor, I'm eager, and dadgummit, I am not ashamed. Can you stand in this town right now and say, "I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ"? We stand on so many things in this town with the political climate that's going on right now. But I can promise you, I could care less if I can't stand and say, "Jesus is my Savior. And because of Him, I live and I will have life." That's what I care about. I'm just being as honest and real with you as I can be. I could care less about anything else. Because it's all going to come out in the wash, and Jesus Christ is still on His throne. And that's the way I look at it. Paul had that great testimony. Why would Paul even be tempted to be ashamed of the gospel when he thought about going to Rome? Why are you tempted to be ashamed of the gospel? Well, let's look at a few things here. The gospel was identified with a poor Jewish carpenter who was crucified. That's one thing that Paul could set aside. The Romans had no special appreciation for the Jews. And I told you a while ago, it was the lowest form of death was a crucifixion. All of those things could have tempted Paul to go, I don't want to go to Rome. I don't want to tell, they're not going to listen to me anyhow. Some of you may be to that point in your life. I don't want to go here because they're not going to listen to me. I don't ever see Paul going, I'm not going there because they're not going to listen to me. Because I'm going there. And I'm going to tell them about Jesus. And that's our heart. That's where it should be. Why would Rome put their faith in a Jew who was crucified? Well, the gospel is not exclusive just for the Jews. If it was, none of us would be sitting here. The gospel is for everybody. But why would Rome want to put their faith in a Jew that was crucified? Let's look at a few things. The origin of the gospel, where did it come from? It came from Christ. It came from heaven. It came from the truth. The one and only. The creator of the world. That's where the gospel started. Jesus is the gospel. His life is what we need. Why should they put their faith in it? Because of its origin. Why? Because it is the power of God. Let's look at this. It is the power of God. For in it the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith. The gospel, let's go back to verse 16, sorry. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God to salvation. That's it. It's nothing within us. It's all about God. And if we try to do anything that's within us, we miss. Completely miss. I stand on His power, on His resurrection. There is an outcome here. The power of God leads to what? What does it say? For it is the power of God to salvation. That's what we're after, is the salvation of Jesus. Without it, we cannot spend eternity with Him in heaven. And who does it belong to? Everyone. That's what the next thing says. It says, the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes, for the Jew first and also the Greek. Key verse here is this, verse 17. For in it the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith. As it is written, the just shall live by faith. Why is the gospel important? Because, this is just said right here, the righteousness of God is revealed in the gospel. In the gospel. That Jesus' sinless life, that He lived that sinless life, that He came from heaven, that He died, He rose again, and He's sitting on the right-hand throne, right-hand side of God. Wow. Man, that is powerful. Just to think, Jesus came from heaven to earth for me, and now He's alive. After all that He did, the righteousness of God is revealed in that. Chapter 3, verses 21 through 26, it says this. But now the righteousness of God, apart from the law, is revealed, being witnessed by the law and the prophets, even the righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ, to all and on all who believe. For there is no difference. Paul didn't care who he spoke to Jesus Christ about. He wanted everybody to know. What's your driving force tonight? What are you trying to accomplish in your life? Well, college students are trying to get out of school. A lot of you are trying to retire. Most of you are trying to pay your bills. But what are we put here on this earth to do? We're here for a driving force to tell the gospel to everybody we're come in contact with. So what are we waiting for? As a child of God, guess what? Paul was indebted because of what Christ did to him and the direction Christ told him to go. As a child of God, guess what? You're indebted too. You're indebted to tell everybody. And we should never be ashamed. Not one of us. Not one of us should ever be ashamed about Jesus Christ. Because if you are His child, He is not ashamed of you. That's a reality that is very sobering to me. That even though He may not like what I've done all of my life, but I'm His child. And when I get to heaven, Jesus is still going to stand and go, "Nope, my blood covers Kelly Roach." And because of that, He can be here in heaven with me. So tonight, if you're ashamed of the gospel, don't be. Don't be at all. Don't be ashamed of what God did for you. There are points in our life where we are stronger than other times. When we have the ability to speak better at other times. Where we are not near as scared as other times. And for me, I know that is when I have other people come alongside me. When I'm not having to do it by myself. Paul went a lot by himself. But he also said, "I want to be there with you." So we can have some fruit together in this gospel of Jesus Christ. That I can see people saved in Rome. That I can be there with you and tell people about Jesus. And I want to be there with you. I want you to be there with me to tell these college students this year about Jesus Christ. Nothing's off limits for you. If you want to go to campus, go to campus. Talk to people about Jesus. Nothing's stopping you. They can't shut it down. You pay taxes. Nobody can tell you not to go. God has already told you to go. And if He's told me to do something, I don't care what anybody else says. That's what I want to do. So tonight, if you're here and you don't know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, I'll give you an opportunity to come and know Him. To accept what He's done for you. And if you're here tonight and you've been ashamed, come talk to God. As Brother Wade always likes to say, it's a good time to do business with God. Right here at this altar. Brother Doug has asked us to be a praying church right now. It doesn't have to just be on Sunday morning. It can be tonight. So if you'd stand, we're going to sing this word of song. Father in heaven, we thank You for this day, and we thank You for allowing us to come to You in prayer. We thank You for all that You've done for us. Father, for giving us strength, for giving us courage to not be ashamed of what You have for us, to tell everybody we know that You love them, that You have died for them, and there is a way to restore the relationship with You. Father, we just thank You for that. I love You and I praise You. In Your name I pray. Amen.